Knife Talk EDC is sponsored by Evenheat, Combat Abrasives, Indasa USA, and Texas Farrier Supply. Take a look at our show notes at knifetalk.net to check out the latest deals and discounts.
Hey, man, can I ask you a question?
All right. This question is from Darren Paul. It says, hey, cuties, can I ask you a question? I'm new to knife making, only carbon blades, and just built myself a heat treat oven that works really well. So I've decided to try out stainless, but I'm curious what you guys think is the best stainless steel to start with as a novice maker. Also, how important do you guys think the cryo process really is to the hardening of said stainless type?
Good question, Darren. That's really nice. Yeah.
It's a good question, Darren. Go ahead.
You go, Jeff. You go first.
I get really worried, and I'm not worried, but you know, I know that some people forge and heat treat AEBL out of a forge. I don't know enough about it in regards to, you know, the way to do it properly. So when I'm using my Evenheat kiln, I usually own, I really, really, really like 440C. But the reason why people would use a kiln over a forge is a lot of these stainless steels need to be held at certain temperatures for longer than just, you know, that you would in a forge. You need to kind of monitor the temperatures. So I don't heat treat any of my stainless steel out of a forge for that reason, because I'm holding, you know, I'm holding 440C at 1900 degrees for, you know, 7 minutes before I start quenching.
Mm. And it's wrapped as well. You wrap the steel, surely.
And it's, yeah, I keep them in oxygen and free environments. So I think that I'm not 100% sure how you're doing it with your kiln, but if you can figure out a way to kind of hold it at a temperature for a long period of time, give them hell. I like 440C. I get consistent results. I know a lot of people like AEBL. I'm not sure in Europe what people are using, but what do you guys think?
Here in Europe, it tends to be the Sandvik steel, sort of 12C27M or 14C28N, and that's what I use. Very similar process. It's, you know, it's held in the oven for a soak. It's in a stainless steel foil packet to stop the air getting at it. But it's quite interesting you mentioned cryo process. So I don't do a full cryo process, and I think maybe for culinary knives it's not really that necessary, because the hardness, we're not going for super, super hard. But what you can do with the Sandvik stainless is you can actually do a deep freeze treatment. So just taking it down to -5 will give it some benefits. So it's not a full cryo process, but just basically a commercial freezer. And I leave mine in overnight after a heat treat. And I've spoken to them. I've spoken to Sandvik on the phone, and apparently that's very sort of beneficial to the Sandvik steels, particularly 14C28N. But yeah, look, depending what you can get your hands on, I think that's going to be the most important thing, because if it's heat treated right, you're going to have a good steel.
Yeah. Well, and I think, so part of the reason that people cryo their stainless is because after you've quenched the steel, there's a propensity for there to be a bit of austenite that hasn't converted and will convert later. And the idea of doing the cryo or the cold treatment, like Craig was describing, is to try to get that retained austenite to kick over to untempered martensite, so that way you can then temper it, because the potential issue with having untempered martensite, which is what makes our knives really nice and hard and take an edge and all that good stuff, is that it could be a detriment later in the life of the knife, or it creates these micro brittle areas inside the steel. And so, so you want to go back and temper them after doing a cold treatment because of that. So the biggest goal of any kind of cold treatment is to kind of kick over any of that unconverted martensite, that retained austenite. So, yeah.
There you go.